and the world of freedom.
Mr. Gorbachev, open this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Ich bin ein Berliner.
This is Radio Goethe Magazine with Arndt Peltner. News and information from the heart of Europe.
Hello and welcome to Radio Goethe Magazine. I'm Arndt Peltner. In today's program we have a portrait of Max Grundig, the pioneer of radio broadcasting. So stay tuned. But first, the news.
Radio Goethe Magazine. The news with Nina Paula.
Berlin. German women earn 22% less than men. This shows a new European Union study. The average wage gap across the EU shows women earning 15% less than men. The fewer the women in the workforce, the lower the average wage. The commissioner of the EU called for more compatibility between work and family and for more women in leadership positions. Closing the wage gap is more than just a question of ethics, he said. In the end, fair pay increases worker motivation and productivity. Berlin. Austrian kidnap victim Natascha Kampusch gets into showbiz. She developed her own chat show. In conversation with Natascha Kampusch. It aired already in Austria. A tiny German news channel has picked up the first show too, which featured a conversation with well-known Austrian Formula One race car driver Niki Lauda. Natascha Kampusch made international headlines as a kidnapped 10-year-old girl breaking free after 8 years in captivity. The case exposed a horrifying parents' worst nightmare story that many Austrians hoped, against reason it now seems, would be one of a kind. Chemnitz. A new art installation allows new perspective on history. With their so-called Temporary Museum of Modern Marx project, a group of art students is breathing new life into a sculpture that has become the city's hallmark. In an installation reminiscent of the works of Christo and Jean-Claude, the artists have put scaffolding around the bust and its pedestal and then surrounded this construction with white cloth. Visitors can climb steps to the top of the statue. Under the East German regime, Chemnitz was renamed Karl-Marx-Stadt in 1953. In 1990, it took back its original name. Düsseldorf. A German toy maker has paid the ultimate tribute to Democratic presidential candidate Barack Obama. He immortalized him in the form of a collector's doll. Marcel Offermann has earned much media attention in the past with his dolls of famous people such as German Chancellor Angela Merkel, the Dalai Lama and Lady Diana. The Barack Obama doll is available in a limited edition of 999 and costs 139 euros. The 14-inch doll sports a black suit, complete with a Stars and Stripes label pin, a white shirt and Obama's trademark sky blue tie. München. German breweries are hoping the Euro 2008 will help boost falling beer sales and reverse shrinking profits. The soccer games, combined with warm summer weather, will likely draw overflowing crowds to the public viewing areas. The industry is hoping that the three-week championships will give a 1-2% kick to beer sales. The home of Oktoberfest is losing its taste for beer as Germans have been switching in recent years to the finer art of wine drinking.
I like old radios. I'm fascinated by their sound, their looks, the ability to get the entire world with shortwave into your living room. One name comes to mind if you talk about quality radio, Grundig. Founded by Max Grundig in Fürth, a pioneer and a visionary in this field, this year he would have turned 100, so the Rundfunkmuseum, the Broadcasting Museum in Fürth, celebrates his anniversary with a special exhibition. Our Radio Goethe reporter Nina Paula got a special tour with Karin Falkenberg, the deputy director of the museum.
His parents were poor. They were workers. His father worked at a
company that produced motorcycles and bicycles and typewriters, Triumph Adler Werke in Nürnberg. And his mother was a cook. His mother was a cook. She stayed at home. And the Grundig family had four children. Max Grundig was the oldest one and the only son. Max Grundig had three smaller sisters. When Max Grundig was 12 years old, his father died. And the mother stayed at home, of course, in order to take care of the children. But half a year later, they didn't get any more support from the company the father used to work. So the mother had to go to work again in order to have at least a little bit of money to support the children and to feed the children. And Max Grundig was not able to go to a secondary school. He finished primary school and then had to go to work in order to take care of his little sisters too.
So it was a hard start for him.
It was a very hard start. When you read in his biographical books, he used to say, "I was hungry the whole day. I was hungry. I was hungry the whole day."
But he didn't want to be always hungry. So what did he do then?
He started out working. He got quite a good job at a company in Nürnberg, and he made an apprenticeship there. The apprenticeship lasted 3 years, and he was a very clever apprentice. So his boss asked him to become the manager of another company situated in Fürth. Max Grundig was only 19 years old then. And he said, "Yes, I will do that. I will help you out managing this company in Fürth, which is the neighbor town to Nürnberg, so it's very close." He lived in Nürnberg and he worked in Fürth then. This company was a special company. It was only founded in order to help build the hospital of Fürth. And there was a special idea of the Fürth City Council. They said, "Everybody who wants to work on our hospital has to be a Fürth company." So that was the reason why Max Grundig went to Fürth and worked at this new founded company. So he had some workers working for him, working on the hospital. And during the day, he had a lot of time. So he had a little company there. He had a little store. And he said, "Well, I've always been interested in radio. And there's nobody selling radios in Fürth." It was in 1926, 1927. "I will sell radios." And he was the first one to sell radios in Fürth.
And he was the one who invented the Heinzelmann, but this was later, I think.
Max Grundig was the one who invented the Heinzelmann in 1945. Shortly after World War II was over, he had the idea to build a new radio, a small radio, and he built this using several parts that he got from the black market. And everybody was allowed to buy these radios, even though it was not allowed by the US-American military government in Germany. The Americans, of course, feared that somebody who was able to listen to radio was also able to send out information. And it was very reasonable not to allow to sell radios in that time, because there were very many National Socialists still everywhere in Germany who wanted to support Adolf Hitler, of course, and it was prohibited to sell radios. That was Max Grundig's problem. He said, "Well, I'm not allowed to sell them, but I will sell radios nevertheless. But I will leave out the tubes, so it's not a complete radio and nobody can say anything against it."
So he was very successful with that, but this wasn't the only thing he was successful with.
Max Grundig had been successful from the beginning of his life. When he was very poor, when he was a little boy, he sold herbs to the housewives in his area. He collected the herbs and sold them, and he got 5 pfennigs for that, and then he bought himself a little bit of equipment in order to build his own radio. He needed money, and his mother didn't have money. His father was dead, so he did need money, and he was only 12, 13 years old, sold herbs, and then got his money for building his own radio.
Okay, so now we are in the second room here of the Rundfunkmuseum. Here is the start when Max Grundig started his business, I think, isn't it? It's the end of 1930.
Yes, it is the end of the 1930s. It was the world economic crisis at that time. Very, very many people were unemployed. They were poor. They were hungry all day long. They were going to the soup kitchens of the cities, of the towns everywhere in order to have at least a little bit to eat. And Max Grundig was so self-confident that he decided to open an own business. Nevertheless, he didn't care about the world economic crisis. He just started out with his own business in November 1930. It was a big problem because his mother said, "Oh my goodness, don't do that. My boy, you're my oldest boy, you're taking care of the whole family. How can you give up your great job and start an own business? Are you crazy?" And Max Grundig first didn't care about it, but then at the second step he had a big problem because he wanted to rent a store. And the owner of the store said, "You're a young guy, you're only 22 years old, I'm not trusting you. You may give me 3 monthly rates in advance, and I want to have the signature of your mother on the treaty." And Max Grundig said, "Oh my goodness, I have to get the signature of my mother on this treaty, on this contract to rent the store." It lasted 10 days and then he got the signature of his mother finally, and he could start out his own business November 15th, 1930.
And Max Grundig supported the military industry.
Yes, in 1933 the National Socialist government came into power, Adolf Hitler came into power, and he started out with military production very, very soon. And he earned a lot of money doing that too. He was a millionaire in 1938. This was only 8 years after he had started his business, and he had so much to do for the military in Germany that he was a rich man by that time.
And he went on being rich, getting more rich. Yes. Isn't that true?
He was always lucky. He was always a businessman. He really never cared about politics. He didn't care about the NSDAP or about Adolf Hitler. It didn't bother him. It bothered him to make a good business and to earn money. That was the only thing of interest for Max Grundig.
And was he a hard businessman or was he friendly? What do people say about him?
He was a hard businessman. He knew what to do. He wanted to earn money. He wanted to sell radios and TV sets and tape recorders and reel-to-reel players. He wanted to sell and he wanted to be successful. And usually the very successful people are quite tough, and he was a tough man. This is his first store, and this is the original door of his first store. That's the guy, Balthasar Reichel, who said, "I want to have the signature of your mother on our contract when you want to rent my store."
And this is the original door?
Mm-hmm. It's the original door. The building is not standing anymore, but the door is now in the museum.
Uh-huh. And it's a green door with glass.
It's a green glass door, and it's Art Deco, the European kind of Art Deco. It is a beautiful door, and behind this door, Max Grundig started out his first business.
And what do you show here in this room?
It is his first store. We show all these wonderful big radio receivers that have been sold in the 1930s. In the 1930s, also the little German radio receivers, the Volksempfänger, have been sold, but only poor people bought those. The people who had a little bit more money, they wanted to spend their money on media, and they spent a lot of money on radio receivers. And as Max Grundig was one of the first ones to sell radios in Fürth and in Nuremberg as well, he sold to all the wealthy people.
Couches et des couches de bitume d'encre, lignes blanches, bandes d'arrêt d'urgence, Ringwald, CO2 aus den USA und aus Europa binde, müssten diese für den Schutz der Urwälder bezahlen.
When did he start to export his radios and all that to America?
Max Grundig started to export to the United States in the 1950s. He
got the opportunity to buy the company where his parents used to work in the 1920s. That was the Triumph Adler Werke in Nuremberg and in Frankfurt. He bought this company and he found in the company about 70,000 motorcycles. Nobody wanted to buy them. Nobody sold them in Germany. Nobody wanted to sell them in Germany. And Max Grundig did have connections to the United States. He went to the United States. He went to Chicago. And a friend of his organized a parade. There was a very beautiful blonde American girl sitting on one of Max Grundig's new motorcycles. He was sitting behind her, waving to everybody. And within a very short time, Max Grundig had sold about 50,000 motorcycles to the United States. Everybody was enthusiastic about these motorcycles. Nobody in Germany had bought them, but in the United States, everybody wanted a European motorcycle then.
So he knew how to make business.
He didn't know how to make business. Yes, he was a very, very clever businessman. He always made business. Nevertheless, what he did, he was always interested in business.
But when started his name to go worldwide? Because Grundig today is known everywhere. And when did he start that?
Grundig is known worldwide today, and this started out in the 1950s and 1960s. At first he produced Heinzelmann, then he produced radio receivers called Weltklang, World Sound of the World. Well, that means Sound of the World. Then he produced TV sets in 1951, which was very, very soon for Germany and for Europe. It was not so soon for the United States. They were earlier doing that. But in Europe, he was one of the first ones to produce TV sets that could be sold to everybody in Germany, to everybody to look at TV, to watch TV in the living rooms. And he first sold black and white TV sets, then he sold color TV sets, then he sold reel-to-reel tape recorders, then he sold cassette recorders. He sold about everything that was to be used to listen to music in the private houses. And he became known worldwide because he needed more production rooms and more production halls. There were not enough employees in Germany, so he bought other companies in Europe at first and had production run there. And then he even bought production rooms overseas in Latin America and in Asia. And he had organizations to sell all his products there.
But he always stayed here in Fürth.
He himself mainly stayed in Fürth. It was at the same time, it was the time when the RAF was very busy in Germany and in Europe as well. So he, after a while, he hid himself, or he had a very well protected hotel where he used to live. But mainly he stayed in Fürth. Nevertheless, he did have an own jet, and he did have an own helicopter in order to get to all the places within a very short time and to take care of all the problems that were coming up.
So he didn't have to move, because one may say, why being in Fürth, a little town, why not being in Berlin or Hamburg or maybe New York?
He stayed in Fürth all the time until he retired. Then he went to Baden-Baden and he bought a hotel there that he rebuilt and restored. It was a luxurious hotel, and he died at the hospital at this hotel, near this hotel.
The name Grundig survived for a little time still. What happened then? Why is there any Grundig anymore?
That's a good question. There are several reasons for that. One of the most important reasons is that Max Grundig was a special manager, a special entrepreneur, a businessman of his own kind. All the other companies had managing systems of several people, but he himself, he was the only one to manage his own company. And it was very, very difficult, if not to say it was impossible, to find a second Max Grundig to continue this company. It was not possible.
At the same time, starting from the 1970s, there was a lot of competition coming from the East. And the German and the European companies that produced radios and TVs, they had a very hard time keeping their prices high against this very cheap Asian competition. Max Grundig managed to do so the whole 1970s, but starting from the 1980s, it became harder and harder. And in 1983, he finally sold his company and he left the company, and the Dutch company Philips overtook Grundig then, for a while only. For a while, it was not easy anymore. It was a very hard time for them too. The managers came and left again. The managers came and left again, and after a while, a Bavarian company took Grundig, Katrain, and then Grundig was sold, the company Grundig was sold to a British and to a Turkish company. And now in 2008, the Turkish company Koç is the only one owning Grundig. So the name is still existing, the label is still on the products, but inside it is a Turkish production today.
You can find our program online at radiogoethe.org. Of course, our free podcast is waiting for your download. Thanks for listening. I'm Arndt Peltner.
Ich gebe die Hoffnung auf eine friedliche Lösung nicht auf und stelle meine Bemühungen um den Frieden nicht ein, solange noch eine Aussicht auf Frieden besteht. Ich bin ein Mann des Friedens bis in die tiefste Tiefe meiner Seele. Für mich ist der bewaffnete Konflikt zwischen Nationen ein Angsttraum. Aber wenn ich die Überzeugung gewinnen sollte, dass eine Nation entschlossen ist, die Welt durch die Drohung mit Gewalt zu beherrschen, dann fühle ich, dass Widerstand geleistet werden muss. Unter einer solchen Herrschaft würde für Menschen, die an Freiheit glauben, das Leben nicht mehr lebenswert sein.
This is Radio Goethe Magazine.